You got me a little nervous, Pastor. You started preaching my sermon, so amen. It has been such a joy to be here today, and thank you again for your kindness to myself and my son and to our family and for your prayers. There is no greater way you can help missionaries than through prayer. I've learned that these last several years. As the pastor mentioned, we've been through some crazy, bizarre things, and I don't have time to even mention all of them. I've had two different tropical viruses, and I promise you, when I get to heaven, I'm going to find Noah and ask him why I didn't kill those two mosquitoes, because that's why. Boy, that would save the world a lot of trouble. But my wife was hit 7 months pregnant by a vehicle. You name it, just different things that we've been through. But I have seen people pray for us, and it works. Amen. Now, there is power in prayer. I mentioned this morning, this is not a, it is physical. There is a lot of physical things as far as illness is concerned. But spiritually, the Lord told his disciples, these things only come by prayer and fasting. There's only, and that's true for all of us, is it not? And so we covet your prayers as missionaries. I don't think there's one missionary on the field that's been there for any length of time would tell you they don't believe in the power of prayer, because this is the only way we make it, amen? And we see things happen. And so please take a prayer card and pray for us. We truly would appreciate it. And we thank you for a church that's standing here in this place and doing what God wants you to do here, because it is a beautiful relationship and partnership, and it works. I'll share something real quick, and then I'll preach if you allow me. In Kiribati, we have these UN projects come through, millions of dollars, Pastor Codner. There's this one going on right now that by the year 2017, they want to make Kiribati a non-open defecation country. That means they're going to make toilets for people. I'm not going to go into any gruesome details on that, but you know, let your imagination take you where. It's only 7 square miles with 50,000 people, so you figure that out, okay? But they're paying millions of dollars into this, and this isn't the first time they've tried this, and they failed. I mean, you talk about corporations and organizations and all these things that people try to help these poor countries, and you know what I'm talking about? And yet, there's nothing lasting. There's a guy who just now leaving Kiribati. You might have seen it on the Smiths' Facebook. They had his farewell party. This is his like fifth time there to Kiribati doing these projects. And he tells me every one of these projects we do fails. There's no lasting effect of all these projects that we do. And yet, we spend millions and millions of dollars trying to accomplish something, and it never happens. And I sat there and I thought, you know, that's how great God is. Amen. And it is an investment. It is. It's an investment of people that, you know, sacrifice and all these things. But isn't it great how the Lord can just take a little bit, just like the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he's able to do amazing things through it? You know, there's families. Those people you saw in our presentation, those people will be in heaven one day. There is a lasting fruit in the Lord's work. There's now a local Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that will, my prayers will continue to go till the day the Lord comes, because he will perform till the day of Jesus Christ, amen? And that's how the Lord works. And he does all that through people and his children who just step out by faith. Missionaries can't go if people don't send us. We can't do it what we do without people here praying. And it's just a beautiful relationship and partnership that through it all, miraculous things happen. Amen? And that's what this time of year is about. It's about Christmas, about the Lord Jesus Christ, and about miracles. Amen? Aren't you glad we serve a God who performs miracles?
Amen.
And he's not changed. Some Christians, I had a guy come up to me once and say, it just seems like God's not here anymore. I said, God's still here. You're just not seeing it because you're not choosing to live for him and by faith. Amen. And I've seen the Lord just do some amazing things, and I know he'll continue to do so, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what we serve. And so I'm just thankful for for what the Lord's done in our life and our ministry and be able to get back and continue to see what God will do. And I believe he can do the same here. Amen. And let's just all live by faith, as the Word of God says, so that when he comes, he might find us faithful. Because he's coming again, amen?
Amen.
And my prayer is that we'll be ready. Take your Bibles with me this morning, if you will. I was praying about what to preach this morning, and the Lord laid a passage on my heart, very familiar passage. It's the season, amen? Luke chapter 2, if you will. But perhaps we'll look at it in a different way than we normally look. There's only one interpretation, but there's many applications. Amen. And I'd like to look at this story of Christmas with us this morning. As we know, just next week's Christmas already. Hard to believe it's here. Hope you all have your Christmas shopping and all that craziness done. you know, it just seems like it's such a great time of year, but most people don't seem very happy for some reason, you know. I guess it's because they got to spend all their money or something. Nobody's making them do it, but I guess they have to anyhow. But it's just a great time. I love this time of year. I love remembering the Lord's birth, amen, and the story of it. And I just think it's just a great time for us as Christians to remember. I don't know about you, but I'm getting forgetful as I get older. Anybody else have that problem, Ryan? Anyone willing to? Yeah, amen. I tell you, that's kind of our curse, isn't it, as humans? And we need to remind ourselves constantly of what the Lord has done for us and what he desires of us and from our lives. Let us, go to the Lord in prayer before we read this, and then we'll ask the Lord to help us this morning. Let's bow our heads and ask God's help this morning. Our Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, that you, as you have promised, that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that there you are in our midst. And we invite you here this morning, Lord. May you be in our midst. May you be in our hearts, Lord. And may your Spirit teach us and give us understanding today, Lord. And just enable us to be more like you want us to be. To be more like you as the example you've left for us. We thank you so much for, Lord, dying for our sins. From coming from the glory of heaven, humbling yourself, becoming a man. And Lord, as we think of this time of year, what a just a great, Lord, great truth that we have. And Lord, what joy and peace that it brings to our hearts. And Lord, may we not just hold that in ourselves, but may we share it with others. And Lord, we'll be thankful for all these things. We'll give you praise and glory. I pray if there's someone here today that is listening to your word, that you might, if they're not saved, if they've never accepted your gift of salvation, I pray today they would do so. For those of us that are saved, remind us, Lord. Lord, and renew our gratitude and renew our desire to serve you, Lord, as we think of these things that you have done in our lives and you're doing. We love you, Lord Jesus. We'll be so careful to give you all the praise and the glory for what you've done, for what you're going to do. And Lord, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like you to read with me, if you will, from Luke chapter 2. No doubt this won't be the only time you read or hear this story this Christmas. But I'd like to read from Luke chapter 2, verse 8, down to verse 20. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8 to verse 20. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds, verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Just a really amazing story. Amen? And in some ways, it kind of brings back bad memories to me. You think, what in the world are you talking about? When I was a teenager, I was in a Christmas drama, and I was the angel, and I was supposed to say verse 14. And when it was my turn, I drew a blank. Anybody ever had that problem? I could not remember for the life of me to say, glory to God in the highest. And there that spotlight was on me, and I'm standing there, and everybody's looking at me. And everybody in the audience was trying to help me to say the part, because they knew the part, you know. Wasn't helping any. But anyhow, regardless, that doesn't change the fact of the story. Amen? But what a great story. And a story that I've heard since I was a kid. And many of you also, I'm sure, have grown up hearing this great story. And what a just amazing. It never gets old to me as I relive it and I think about it. And as we remember what took place that first Christmas time. And just an amazing, amazing experience. I would have loved to have been there, wouldn't have you? I would have loved to have seen it and to experience it. And truly, that's what Christmas is all about. It's about Christ, isn't it? Amen. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. I hate it when they put Xmas when they write that stuff. I hate it. I won't even go somewhere to a shop when they put that because that drives me nuts. It's not Xmas, it's Christmas. Amen? It's about Christ. Jesus is the reason for the season. This is the time of year as we remember that great time over 2,000 years ago when God, as the Bible says, He humbled Himself and became a man and was born as a man and born of Mary the Virgin. And just the miraculous story of Christmas. What an amazing thing. Amen? And that's part of our faith. That's part of our belief. And we ought to be excited about this time of year. Be excited about it. And to think of this, what took place in this story. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But I'd like to think about the message here today. If you're taking notes, I'd like to title this sermon, The Message of Christmas. I'd like to think about some of the things about this message. But then I'd like to focus in on maybe a part of this story that we don't always look at. The shepherds. Amen? My 4-year-old son was a shepherd this year in the Christmas pageant. He was pretty cute, eh? You know when those little kids put those things on their head and put the rope around them? Looks really great. We even did that in the islands. The only problem is all the kids took it off because it was too hot. You know, I don't blame them. But, you know, as we think of the shepherds, I want us to think to this morning and think of this story maybe from a different angle. But I don't want to neglect the idea that Christmas is all about Christ. Amen? And truly, this story is all about Christ. But I'd like us to think about what the shepherds did with this message. First, let's look at the message. What is the message that the angels brought to them? Look in verse 10, if you will. It says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to who? All people." You know what? Let me say, this message is inclusive of everybody. Amen? Aren't you glad for that this morning? Aren't you glad that the Lord had the angel say that last part? This was a message not just to the shepherds. This was not a message to just the Israelites or to that nation. But the angel of the Lord knew that this was going to be read all over the world for centuries to come. Because that is the message of Christmas. It is to all people. Amen? It is to the whole world. We know this is the theme throughout the whole Bible, as we know from the verses which we read. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. This message of salvation. And what was it? He said in verse 11, the angel said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." See, that's what we believe. That's what we hold on to. We're not here. It's been amazing to go to these places around the world and to share with people that have been involved in religion their whole life. They've been involved in the fear of religion and all these things. They know the name of Christ, but it's almost like they're afraid of that name. That name has been used to beat them down and to cause them to live in fear. And I go to places in Kiribati and I share with them, I says, we're not here to give more religion, but we're here to give you a relationship. Because Jesus wants that, amen? Jesus wants that with His creation. God wanted to make a way for us to have a relationship again with Him, our Creator, and that was made possible through our Savior, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what the message of Christmas is all about. It's about a Savior. It's about a person. It's not about a religion, about a church. It's about Him, Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus is what we believe in. You know, I was told by somebody once in Kiribati, they said, you know what's different about your churches? You're always talking about Jesus. I says, amen. Amen? I was like, that's a good compliment. Because we're not here to talk about much else than the Lord Jesus Christ. Because everything that pertains to God and the Word of God is all made possible through Jesus Christ. There's no other way, is there? He's the only way. He said it Himself, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by Me. And this was the message over 2,000 years ago that the angel came and gave to these simple shepherds. You know, it's funny. It says here these shepherds were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I was reading this and studying it and thinking, I wonder why God chose the shepherds. Why did God choose the shepherds? Why didn't He choose somebody else? Why didn't He choose the rich people in the town, you know? Why didn't He go to somebody's house or somewhere else? And why did God choose the shepherds? Truth is, I don't have a good answer. I'd like to think maybe it's because they like to gossip a lot and talk a lot and they knew a lot of people, amen? I don't know. But wouldn't you have loved to have been a shepherd? You know what, I know one thing. If you've ever been around farmers, they don't smell too good most of the time, do they? You know? These guys are just ordinary men. They're like you and me. Some of you are like... But you know what, I'd like to believe that God came to these shepherds because He wanted us to realize that it's not about the person or who it is, but it's about Jesus. Amen? You know, I think that's why the Lord Jesus chose as most of His disciples fishermen, ordinary people. Actually, He chose a tax collector whom everybody hated. You know what, though? God's able to change him and use him to spread the gospel. You know what? It's the message. And that's what I like to think about is this. The message is wonderful. The message is for all people. The message that we have is a message ringing out all these years, and it's a wonderful message. But He gave it to these shepherds the first time. I have written here in my Bible, down at verse 16, where it talks about they made known abroad. I wrote there, they're the first missionaries. They did the work of spreading the gospel. We're going to get there in a moment, but we think about these shepherds. You know, I also thought about this. You know, it's amazing how only one of them came at first. Because I think if they all appeared right at the first time, they probably all would have died from a heart attack, don't you think? Yeah, just one angel showed up first, gave them the message. And then it says, because it says there, they were sore afraid. I think I would have been afraid too, don't you? Seeing this heavenly being there appearing before you in the night. Glowing. I don't know exactly how it happened, but it says it scared them. Scared them pretty silly, don't you think? And then He gave them the message. But you know what? I also thought about this is, you know what? The disciples heard the message, or sorry, the shepherds heard this message. And they even heard the message of the sign, which was to show that this was true. But you know what? The truth is they still had a decision to make. They could have taken it and just lived with it the rest of their life and just not told anybody, you know. To be honest with you, this story was a story. And as we find later on in the story, it says that when people heard it, they wondered at it. It doesn't mean that they believed them. Because I think if one of us was to stand up today and say, last night an angel came to me and appeared to me, a lot of you would be like, sounds like another story. Huh? Am I right? They could have chosen to just live with it and just not tell anybody, but you know what? They did something about the message that they received. We're going to look at that too in just a moment. But you see, the story goes on that after the angel gave them the message of the Savior coming, and then he showed them that there would be a sign. He says, you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And let me tell you something. We've heard that story so often, we almost think that was the norm. But let's think about it for a moment. If you had a baby, would you put him in a manger, a place that an animal ate out of, in a barn? No. That wasn't normal, okay? That didn't make sense. That's not where you would take your baby and stay. And so this was abnormal. But everything about it was to prove that this was God, the Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 13 says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Wow, I would have loved to have been one of the shepherds, one of you. If you're taking notes, I'd like you to think with me first, as we've talked about already, is that the message was given. The message was given by the angels. The message of the Savior that was to come, it was given to them. They were given it. And just like the shepherds have been given the message of salvation, we too have been given the message of salvation. Amen? You have the Word of God today? You and I both have the Word of God. And we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. This book right here is a book. It's a miraculous book. Everything about it is a miracle. And it reveals to us God. It reveals to us Christ. It reveals to us all things that pertain unto life. And we, the Word of God, just as the shepherds were given the message, we've been given the message. We know the truth, do we not? We found the truth. I remember when I was 8 years old and I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I've never been the same since. Amen?
Praise God.
God's changed my life. God's given me a new desire. He's given me a new life, which is in Christ. We know that that's not possible through our good works. It's not possible through what we try to accomplish, but it's through Him and Him alone. The message is still the same. And we've been given the message, the same as the disciples or the shepherds have been given that message. Just the same way it says later on in this passage, it talks about, look in verse 17. It says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. See, the thing is they were told what was happening. They were explained by these angels the truth of what was taking place during that time. You know what? We're in the same boat, aren't we? We're in the same boat as those shepherds. Because if we've accepted the Lord Jesus as Christ as our Savior, the Word of God has been planted in our lives. We've heard the message. And now because of that, we're saved. And now we have a decision to make. And that's number two. The message was received and believed. Look what it says is as they heard these things, they saw these things. I like what happened in verse 15. It says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They're like, listen, this is unbelievable. What are we going to do about it? They're like, let's first go and see. Amen. Let's experience it. Let's see it. You know what? That's true about the Christian life. Like the pastor said, is that we're like trees that are planted. And as the Word of God grows in our hearts, we're able to then later on bear fruit. But that takes time. That takes going and seeing things. And I understand that this is a special story in the Word of God, but I appreciate these shepherds. Let's go see it for ourselves. Let's be sure of it. Because I think still, they're humans just like you and I, and let's be honest, at times there's doubts that creep into our life, are there not? Amen. The devil wants to try to get us to question it and to be uncertain about it. But listen, isn't it amazing that as the Word of God promises, if you ever lack a faith, you can ask of God, He'll give it to you, amen?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that takes time. As God proves Himself to us time and time again, and as the message in our hearts grows and becomes more solid, and then we see they went, the Bible says, and they found it just the way the angel had said. They found that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You know, it's amazing is how so many times we get so amazed when God had already said it's supposed to be that way, but we get amazed when He does exactly what he says He's going to do, huh? But you know what? That's the way all of us work. That's the way all of us are, because we're sinners, aren't we?
Yes,
we're sinners. The devil is trying to knock us off. That's why Jesus told his disciples, build your life on the rock, amen? Not on the sand, because when the storms of life come, you get washed off real easy. That's a whole other message for another day. But the reality is the message is given, but the message must then be received and believed. You know what? These shepherds chose to believe, didn't they? And because they chose to believe, they put actions behind those beliefs. They went. They saw it for themselves. I would have loved to have been there, wouldn't have you? I would have loved to have seen that day. You think about how the Lord could have sent angels to anybody else in the world. He could have sent those angels to the king, right? He could have sent them to the rich people. He could have sent them to the important people that we would consider important, you know? But no, he chose just simple, stinky, ordinary shepherds to be the ones that would hear this great message, go and believe and receive. And then the last point I'd like to think about this morning, the message shared. You know what? They didn't just keep it to themselves, did they? They didn't keep it to themselves. The Bible says, look at this. Verse 16, it says, verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad. That means pretty much everywhere, amen? They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You know what? They got the job done, didn't they? Amen. They got out and they told people. You know, it's natural, isn't it? When something exciting happens in your life, you can't help but tell people. Am I right? Huh? Yeah. Come on, you men. I know you guys. When you shoot one of the big trophy bucks, you got it on your phone, you're showing everybody. Am I right? Huh? Yeah. Or, you get something great happens in your life. You tell people, don't you? You share with them. It's natural to share with people the good news. And you know what's sad is in verse 14, we see there the angels. Verse 13, as the multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Let me tell you something. When Christ comes into our lives, He brings peace, does He not? Amen. And He brings a peace that the world doesn't know about. They don't even have. It's not the peace the world gives, it's the peace that God gives. And there's nothing that can be compared to this world than that, to that peace. Bible says it passeth all understanding. What that means is it can't be explained to people, it can only be experienced. The peace of God, goodwill towards men. I look around at this time of year and you go out to the stores, and boy, people don't look like they have a lot of peace, do they? They're all arguing about what to buy their kids, and they don't have enough money to pay for it. And boy, it just seems like, where's the peace gone for this time of year? It's because the world's commercialized it and ruined it for everybody, huh? Yeah. This time of year, we ought to have joy. Joy to the world. But you look around, people don't look very happy, do they? You know why? Because they don't have Christ. Amen. But we do, don't we? Amen. We do. We have salvation, and we have to be careful as Christians. Can I tell you something? And I'm guilty of this just as much as the next guy, and God's been convicting me of this, is we can't allow ourselves to be tempted to fall into the ways of the world and allow them to take away our joy. Amen? Especially this time of year. We ought to be pretty excited. We ought to be pretty happy. We ought to have that joy and allow the Lord to fill us with that peace and that joy, because it's still the same today as it was over 2,000 years ago. That's the miracle of it, isn't it? When you think about your salvation, when you take time to remember those things and to realize all that God has given us through Jesus Christ, it's still the same today as it was yesterday. And it will be tomorrow, won't it? We ought to get back to remembering these things and realizing that we've been given the message just like the shepherds have been given the message. And if you're here today and you can remember a time when you received that message and you believed in Christ, then we are just like the shepherds too, haven't we? You've seen it. You've seen the Lord do things in your life. But let's not stop there. Let's do like the shepherds did and let's share it. Amen? Let's make known abroad the joy which we have and the thanksgiving that we have and all the things, because it's true. Jesus is alive today. Amen?
He's in heaven, and one day we'll be with him. And this story has been told year after year throughout the centuries, because it is a message of hope for the world. It's a message of peace. It's a message of joy. And it's still true today. God wants us to share it with people. Bless my heart. You're sharing how that you had an opportunity this Christmas, amen, to share with your workmates. Because you know what? That's what God's looking for. He's looking for seeds. You know what? We're not the ones that have to save people. Here's a little bonus to this message, okay? God, it's not our responsibility to save people. You know what? Even in this story, it doesn't say that after these shepherds made known abroad that multitudes believed in Christ, does it? It says they wandered. Because I believe, as the pastor says, it's those seeds that God plants in people's hearts. Plants in little kids' hearts. Plants in teenagers' hearts. And then the Holy Spirit over time begins to develop that and convicts people and reproves them of sin. And as the Bible talks about, and then the Lord, isn't it amazing how the Lord works and people get saved? Amen?
Amen?
Yeah. It's a process. And you know what? I believe these shepherds planted the seed of God's message in thousands of people's hearts on that Christmas morning that eventually later led on to over 30 years later when Christ died on the cross. People remembered that, didn't they? They remembered, hey, that's Jesus. That's the same one the shepherds talked about. Then he started to hear about what he was doing, his earthly ministry. And then they heard about how he was crucified on the cross. Then they heard about how he rose again. And then how the disciples came and gave the message of the gospel of salvation through Christ alone. And we know the rest of the story, don't we? Because the Bible says that the whole world heard about Christ and that the multitude came to accept Christ. Now, not everybody did. That's the sad reality, isn't it? Not everybody will choose to believe. But I promise you, there will be those that believe. If we'll just be faithful. If we'll just be faithful to give it out. I wish every 105,000 people of Kiribati would come to know the Lord as their Savior, but they probably won't. But you know what? I'm thankful for those that have, amen?
Amen.
I'm thankful for those that will accept Christ. And there always will be those, because God's Word will not return void. God's Word will do what it is its purpose is. We have a great message, do we not?
Amen.
The message of Christmas is the message of Christ. The message of Christmas is the message of salvation, peace, joy, love. Let us live that every day. Not just at Christmas, throughout the year too. May people see the joy which we have, the peace that we have. And then let us share with them why that is. It's because of Jesus. Amen? Oh, what a great story of these shepherds. The Bible says here, verse 19, that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And what I love is verse 20. It says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. Boy, we have a lot to praise the Lord for, don't we? We truly do. Boy, we live in a world of trouble, but mankind has always lived in a world of trouble. That's called sin, amen? But you know what? Our hope's not in the world. Our hope is not in the things that are around us, but our hope is in the Lord, in the heavens, who sits on the throne of the heavens and does all these things for us. It says that they went home praising, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You know what I have written here? They were just witnesses. You know what? That's all God's asked of us, to just be a witness. And all witness is just tells people what they've seen or experienced. Have you experienced the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you found the joy that comes from accepting Him? If you have, then tell people about it. Be a witness to them. Share with them what a difference He's made in your life. And I truly believe God will use that. God will plant the seed in people's hearts that one day will lead to them accepting Christ as their personal Savior. May God help us this Christmas season. Amen?
Amen.
Well, enjoy your family. Enjoy your time together. But let's not forget the real reason for the season. And let's be faithful in giving out that message. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'll ask the pastor to come in just a moment and finish the invitation. But two questions as every head bowed and every eye closed. The first question is this. If you're here today and you've never accepted God's gift of salvation, if you've never professed Jesus Christ to be your Savior, see, that angel said that He's the Savior of the world, and it's for every man. If you know that you're a sinner today and you need saved, I hope you'll come and accept God as your personal Savior. Accept Jesus as your Savior, and He will save you because He took your place on the cross. Second question is for all of us that are Christians. If you are saved, you know there's been a time. And you say, Brother Joel, may the Lord help me. I'm asking God to help me to be a better witness for Him. Sometimes I allow fear. Sometimes I allow the busyness of life to overtake me. But I want God to help me to share with others the joy that I have. May I not lose that joy and that peace that I have in salvation. And just help me to hold on to those things and share it with others. I hope that that's your prayer. You ask the Lord to help you. Lord, I thank You for this time. I thank You for how You've spoken to my heart through this great story. We thank You for the story of Christmas, the story of grace, of love, of mercy, as You came from the throne of heaven to this earth to be born as a man so that You might die for the sins of the world. What an amazing, miraculous story. And we know that that's the reason why we're here today. That's the reason we know that our sins are forgiven and that we're not afraid to die because we know where our eternal destination is. Lord, we thank You for that. But may You help use us, Lord, to share that message abroad. Like You used the shepherds, may You use us. And Lord, we'll be thankful for it. May You have Your will and Your way in each of our lives and our hearts today, and we'll be thankful for it. In Jesus' name, amen.